this podcast kind of feels a bit weird, namely because we're holding the microphones and they're not in microphone stands as usual. So it kind of feels very laid back, but at the same time feels like I'm conducting an interview for Radio 4.
We're relaxing on a sofa. It feels like a chat show. It's Tom and Matt Attack Show.
Da 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 da. Yeah, that was a good intro, wasn't it? You know, we just brief the audience on the ambiance that is us recording this podcast on a couch with a microphone in our hands. It feels weird.
A cup of tea?
I don't know. I feel like a child speaking into their hairbrush, you know, singing along to the radio. Yeah, I don't know if I like it. Yeah.
Well, we're not looking at each other as per usual with the podcast.
Oh, this is true. Well, like,
we're looking at
we're looking at our reflections of ourselves, silhouettes and a TV that's
nothing going on. If we had a camera pointing at us, filming us, and then that on the TV.
Yeah, maybe if we get that could be cool. Maybe if we get the PS4 cam and we could do this live
over
Twitch.
Watch ourselves. Hi there.
That's what we'd say if we were live. But yes, hello to you listeners. How are you doing?
You'd see us in our dishevelled states after a Monday at work.
You would. It's a hard one. Sorry about not releasing the podcast yesterday, but we're both very busy, busy people, and we had a lovely Sunday lunch yesterday, which ran on a bit late.
It was a dinner.
It was an evening meal. It wasn't in the afternoon, as is tradition, with a Sunday roast. But, yeah, enough about that. Games, Thomas. Games.
What about them, Matt?
What have you been buying? What have you been playing?
Well, I have to confess, not a lot. I know I mentioned last week that I'd probably complete Super Mario World, 3D World. Sorry.
Have you touched it?
Totally different game, 3D World.
You went to offer the mic to me to speak then. See, you do think you're on a chat show.
No, I haven't played Mario, which is probably a good thing, because if I would have played it, I probably would have finished it this weekend. So I played very few games this weekend, actually, apart from went over a friend's house. And we had a bit of a gaming evening.
All right.
So we started off playing a bit of Mario Kart. Always enjoyable as a four-player game.
Of course, yeah.
Enjoyable as a two-player game. Four-player. Oh.
Four-player just kind of delicious. Like is one of those games that makes you want to kill your friends, but in a good way.
Oh, no, it depends if you're an angry young man or not.
Oh, that's true, but we do play with a severely angry young man when we play.
Oh, Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Carlson, yes.
Yeah. But that was enjoyable. He was playing and he was, yeah. He gets a little irate.
He does get a little irate.
He's passionate. It's passion. That's what
it is. Sheer passion.
So great multiplayer game. Some of the other guys are playing Blur. We had two tellies set up with two Xboxes running.
Nice.
Blur being the fantastic racing game for, I think, Xbox and PS3, which was developed by Bizarre Creations?
I believe so, yes.
Of Project Gotham.
One of their last games as a studio.
A great studio. R.I.P. It was a shame to see them go.
They will be missed.
Mm.
Yeah. Anything else? Do you play that?
Well, some of the guys are playing that. Myself and the aforementioned Mr. Carlson were playing Sonic Racing on the other telly.
Ah,
actually, it was a brief stint on Soul Calibur, but I played a couple of rounds. Everyone just gave up and didn't want to play anymore.
Okay, interesting. So it's generally your Thursday night gaming continued over into your weekend.
Yep. So Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed, or whatever it's called. It's not Sonic and Sega anymore. They dropped the Sega out of there. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And then probably to make it less of a mouthful. And Soul Calibur.
Yeah, Resident Evil Revelations on
Thursday. I'm afraid all I've played this week is Soul Calibur and Sonic All-Star Racing Transformed. I also played it on Sunday morning as well.
Really?
With my little cousin Morgan. He's a dab hand at Sonic. He's rather good.
Nice.
I'm quite proud of the fact I introduced him to Sonic, and he's very passionate about it. I was singing the We were singing together, actually, over Xbox Live, the old Sonic theme tune from the Saturday morning cartoon. Sonic, he can really move. Sonic, he's got an attitude. That
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I remember that one.
He loves it. You know, and of course, that's not on TV anymore. He's found that himself, or I think I might have got him a DVD. But he loves it. Yeah, that's he said he went in the shop and bought a few episodes of it the other day.
Wow. How disappointed is he going to be when he actually watches it?
He likes the theme tune.
Yeah, but other than the theme tune.
Yeah. For me, hey, let's not talk about Sonic too much. This podcast already contains yeah,
exactly.
too much Sonic the Hedgehog.
Now 24% more Sonic.
Yeah. There was one other thing. Okay, the one game I bought this week, which was Ninja Gaiden 3.
Ooh, interesting.
On the 3DS.
You owned it already on the Atari Linux, right?
Linux?
Lynx.
Lynx.
I know, I just wanted to pronounce it like a foff.
I wrote it to you earlier, and all I could think was of the deodorant.
Yes, Axe for you Europeans and Americans.
Our British listeners will understand that reference. But, yeah, this is a port of the NES game, obviously, and not the Lynx version.
Yes,
unfortunately. Which is fine when you can see it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, on the Lynx, it's a bit dodgy. But, yeah, good game. Not one I've ever completed. I've never completed a Ninja Gaiden game.
It's because they're very hard.
They're very hard.
I got very far in the first one as a child. As I've previously mentioned, I know it as Shadow Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I got quite far into it. It's a very hard game. I like the wall climbing kind of grippy mechanic of jumping off walls. It's always kind of fun.
It was great, especially for the time.
Oh, definitely.
You know, it still stands up well today.
First game of cutscenes, you know.
Yeah, is that a fact? I always wonder if that's a fact or not.
It is a fact.
It's definitely a fact.
I'm pretty sure.
That's a Matt fact.
I wouldn't like to put my name to it, but I'm pretty sure it's a fact.
Because I heard that somewhere as well, that it really used cutscenes for the first time to tell a story.
I'm pretty sure it did.
In between interspersing levels, not just at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I remember blinking a Donald Duck Lucky Dime Caper had some sort of cutscenes between things.
Yeah, but this was an original Famicom game, wasn't it?
Yes, of course. And it was a little bit more cinematic, I know, in Ninja Gaiden 2. Yeah. It wasn't just a character on screen with a box of text.
No.
It was dynamic, like a movie.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is it for me, I'm afraid, this week.
Are you serious? That's
apart
it?
Apart from the bit of Dark Souls that we just played then together.
Oh, God. Unfortunately, listeners... we have a YouTube channel now. Yes, that's great.
Very unfortunate, isn't it, Matthew?
Yes, it is, because you get to listen to us and do and watch us at the same time play games very badly.
No, what's unfortunate about it
is we were pretty much, we started a YouTuber, which you can find over at YouTube, same username as everything else we do. It's Tom and Matt Attack. And last week, after the podcast, we maybe even mentioned it on the last podcast that we were going to do it. We did a video about Tom playing Minecraft because Tom hadn't
we spoke
played
about
Minecraft.
It.
We did, but it wasn't uploaded at the time.
No.
And then we called that section Tom and Matt Attempt.
Which is very clever, Matt. Well
it
done.
Was. I used the letter A and made it another thing. I'm good like that. And then we did a quickie, a Spelunky. So you did play a bit of Spelunky, right?
Oh, I guess if you count that.
Yeah. But being busy this week, otherwise I uploaded a shed load more content. I'm planning on doing it hopefully this week. But we just tried to film a Tom Matt Attack of Dark Souls and we got about 20 minutes into it. You know,
it was great. It's going to be a great video.
I think it was.
A similar premise to the Minecraft one. Matt's not played it before. So it's a game which has its own surprises along the way.
It does.
Exploration. But yeah, unfortunately... It wasn't to be.
It wasn't. While we've recorded the video, and the video does exist of me playing Dark Souls very terribly, the audio kind of cut out after about 10 minutes, so we didn't realise.
Unless we watch it back and record
director's commentary over the top of it. No,
so, Matt, this is where you were doing this. I think that's probably the best thing to do.
Oh, I think that won't be as good, though. I think we're going to lose a lot of the magic.
Yeah, but then we've got to fake it if we do it again. At least this way we're being genuine and admitting that we lost it.
Maybe I should have saved the game. Maybe we should have just started it from there. That would probably be the best.
I missed some of the best bits. Female warrior.
My female warrior with a tiny head.
With a tiny head.
God damn. That would have been brilliant. Never mind. We should do it again. We should wholeheartedly do it again in the spirit that I've played the first 20 minutes. and just kind of reminisce about the good times that will never be. Never mind. Yeah, so you played a bit of Dark Souls while you watched me play a bit of Dark Souls.
Yeah, and I feel like I haven't fulfilled my promise. I said this on last time's podcast that I didn't want to say I'd play too many games because I didn't want to let anyone down.
You did.
And disappoint people that were expecting to hear about certain games this week.
But you have.
No, I haven't played any of those Japanese games.
You have not.
Any more than the elephant one.
It's a bit of a shame, but never mind. It's okay. It's always this week, Tom. You can always bring back Japanese games.
Yeah, I can still play them.
You can. We can even record them now. That's the wonders of having a YouTube channel.
I turned my PS Vita on.
Really? I did as well yesterday.
And I looked at it for a minute.
Really?
And then I turned it off again.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, we've actually introduced a thing as well. Like, I've been trying to get the Twitter more active, and we're doing okay for followers now. I'll come back to some shout-outs at the end of the episode. But we've been trying to do a few things, like TMA Asks, which is asking questions of tweeters every day. And This Day in Gaming has now continued, albeit in a less graphic intensive form. I've just been posting screen grabs and going, This Day in Gaming, this was released in screen grab today of the day of recording the podcast. The day it will be uploaded is Art of Fighting 2. Answers on a postcard to which day this is if you're not listening it today.
What about Art of Fighting 2?
It was released in Japan for the first time today.
Oh.
February 3rd.
As a console
1994.
Game?
No, in the arcade.
In the arcade, right.
Fascinating fact. Oh, yeah, but we've got the YouTube up and running. We've got the Twitter and stuff. I've just been doing things on there. But there was a... We kind of had Spelunky Sundays planned with a few people on there, and I played it yesterday, and then, because we had this wonderful Sunday lunch, paused the game halfway through to go back to it, and then it disconnected me from the network, so I couldn't actually register my score with anyone.
Oh, we're having lots of technical difficulty just lately, aren't we?
We are, yeah. I even I tweeted the silly thing earlier because of Polygon's rather misleading headline about Mr. Zachary Quinto in the new Agent 47 movie, the spin-off of a Hitman movie that they do in. Because when you read the headline, Zachary Quinto stars in Hitman Agent 47, you automatically assume he's going to be playing Agent 47. No, he's not. But I tweeted that he was. And then...
Oh, dear.
I know. Fell on my
rookie
sword.
Error.
I was. I should have read the whole article. Never mind. It's almost as if I'm one man running a Twitter account and trying to compete with the big boys.
If we're talking about movie stars, I think we can't not mention the tragic passing of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, it's definitely
a tragedy. That was a shock because he is one of my favourite actors, and I'm very sad that obviously he's passed away and that he won't be making movies anymore.
Likewise, he's always an actor that chose very dynamic films, you know. He was never one to shy away from a role because of what it may entail for him as an actor.
He's the actor, you know, I'd watch a film purely because he was in it.
Yeah, he just...
Because he always delivered a great... And I must say that his film that he directed, Jack Goes Boating, I've seen, and that was really good. He had a very promising career as a director as well, I would have said.
Shame. 46. So, he will be missed.
Yeah, he will. Moving on.
Yeah. Sorry for that little
back to games.
Epilogue. Eulogy, epilogue. God damn it, Matthew, you can't speak. We're recording this quite
it's
late,
okay.
I should mention.
It's okay. And
I invested a lot of energy in Dark Souls.
Yeah. That was a little bit tragic.
It was.
But have you played anything else this last week? Because I know you were bravely said you'd play Bravely Default.
I did. I played it on the bus on the way here, actually.
You did?
I played a bit more. It took me a couple of minutes, to be honest, to get back into it. Fortunately, Bravely Default has the wonderful thing, which I kind of found annoying when I was playing it. But if you press start, the fairy on the bottom screen tells you what you're supposed to be doing. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to be going here. And then it has little icons you can put on the map that give exclamation marks. So I used those for one or two, like, go-to checkpoint bits just so I could get my bearings with it again. And then I turned them off again. And, yeah. Still loving it. Still like the battle system. I think it's a very good game. American listeners, please, please, please snap it up as soon as it comes out over there to show Square Enix people give a damn about RPGs, because it is.
I'm sure it's going to succeed.
I hope so. I mean, it's one of the best RPGs I've played in a very long time. So you should definitely give it a look. Haven't played any more of Final Fantasy 1. I kind of decided that, yeah, I want to complete Bravely Default before jump into another
RPG.
Even
though you said it was quite a short one.
It is. It's like 12 hours, but I...
You said 7 last week.
Yeah, I read how long... I went to howlongtobeat.com and checked, and they said 12.
Okay.
So...
But for Matt Boyle, 7.
Probably. I could probably breeze through it. Like, I stuck it on easy. A lot of people frown on that, but I just haven't got time to grind and grind and grind and grind in an RPG anymore. I'm playing Bravely Default on normal, but I am severely overpowered for where I am. I'm like level 50 and I'm on like a third chapter out of 6. So that's going rather well because I'm just killing things hand over fist.
Great.
Other than that, what have I played? I tried to play Skylanders. Unfortunately, our capture device does not support Skylanders. Well,
the intention
doesn't support
was
the PS4.
To make a video. We can still play Skylanders.
We can. I'll borrow it off someone in work. I know someone who has the 360 version, so I'll ask them for a lend of it.
But I love to see the PS4 version running and witness those real graphical improvements.
Yeah, probably. Maybe we'll broadcast it over Twitch one day. Maybe we'll get our bearings with it on the PS3 or the Xbox 360 and then broadcast a bit of it just so people can see what it looks like. Might be nice.
I certainly think I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, but I've got it here. I bought it for 400 krona from Complete with a K .dk, which is a bargain for the PS4 version.
I've noticed across the board for the other console versions, £40.
Yeah, not for
the
PS4
though. I had to look on Amazon the other day. Wii U one's £40.
It is. I was going to buy it, and then I bought the PS4 one. Alas, hoisted on my own petard. I can't record it, which is the whole idea of it.
It seems like the main reason you bought the game, to record it.
Well, I bought it to play it, but I wanted to record it, and I wanted to do a Tom and Matt attempt.
I bought my own Skylander in preparation as well.
You did?
I bought the Grim Creeper.
You bought the Grim Creeper.
He was very aesthetically pleasing to me.
He was. He's got light core, which means
he was slightly more expensive because he was a bit transparent.
Yeah, exactly. And he lights up.
He doesn't light up, does he?
He lights up on the portal.
Yeah, that's because the portal's a light.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's because there's Bluetooth in it. I think it activates the LED.
Well, I want to see that.
Well, yeah, we can play it afterwards. It's okay. We'll give it a go. Yeah, I bought myself a Pop Fizz. For those of you familiar with the Skylanders franchise who have children who aren't like me. My nephew has it. That's why I played it before and kind of wanted to give it the time of day. Pop Fizz is kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde character. He's a little hyperactive furball thing. Then when you press one of the buttons, he drinks a potion and becomes this big monster. It's kind of cool. It's really nice. I was going to get, there was a special edition red one during one of the shops in Denmark, but it's for Skylanders Giants. And obviously, Activision being very clever people tend to like gate the content based on which generations when you have. Like, I could have bought the Pop Fizz and I could have powered it up, but it would never be the max level that this one can be. So it just made sense to buy the newest one.
I envision a day when we could walk down an aisle in a video game store or something and see like a whole aisle of different franchises, figures. You know, we've got Skylanders, we've got Disney Infinity, what's next?
Yeah, you know? I know. Well, like, to be honest, I went to the toy fair that I mentioned last week, Nuremberg, just this past week. And I was expecting a lot of stuff there, but there wasn't. But it's a more traditional toy market. The German toy market is very based in traditional toys and things from what I could gather in my experience there. So there wasn't really any electronic stuff on display. No real video games.
I like the idea. Yeah, because you were hoping that we'd get an Xbox One.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm always hoping we'll get an Xbox One, but not from Nuremberg, maybe. But never mind.
Yeah, the karting thing sounded fun.
Yeah, that sounds ace. The whole idea of like Mario Kart things.
We still have no idea if that's...
No, it hasn't been announced yet. Hopefully E3, I guess, there'll be some inkling as to what they're doing, or maybe before that when the leaks start to come.
But it's what's sad about Skylanders, I think, is it was kind of, we talked about this the other week, I don't think on air, but on air. That Spyro's kind of been used and cast aside now. He served his purpose of establishing the franchise, and now it's Skylanders, it's not Spyro's Adventure anymore.
Yeah, but that was just the first title, wasn't it? It's like Skylanders Swap Force now. It was Spyro's Adventure was the first one, and then it was Giants. But obviously, but, like, they've not put him in the box because, you know, have to buy him. He doesn't come with the game. It's because every kid wants Spyro because he's one of the first three that they will buy every iteration of Spyro.
Is that true? He's still a popular character?
I'd assume so. Like, he's a little purple dragon. You know, he's been around for a while.
Once upon a time, Spyro was one of the most popular video game franchises around.
Well, you know, let's be honest, like, I mean, he had more of a resurgence than Crash Bandicoot ever did. Like, he was a very popular and prominent PlayStation 1 mascot, almost. Then he kind of faded into obscurity a little bit. I know there was a title on the PS2, right?
There was a few.
Yeah.
There was like three or something. Really? And on the Game Boy and the DS. And Yeah.
I know he was on DS.
Kept chugging. I think Elijah Wood voiced him at one point.
To be honest, there's one on the PS3 and the 360. A Spyro game. New Age or Dawn of something.
Is.
But then, obviously, he became part of Skylanders.
Oh, I'd really like to see Crash back.
Well, you know, there are whispers of it, right? That there may be some incoming of Crash. I'm sure I've heard on other podcasts, be it Giant Bomb or Polygon.
Yeah, something worthy of those original games, because they were rather good and a little bit different from your average platformer.
Well, it would have been cool if the guy, I can't remember the name of, who did Knack, because it's an unforgettable game, obviously.
Unforgettable.
It is an unforgettable game, Tom, you know. Those hours I spent with Knack, I cherish, so much so that I've forgotten the guy who made it.
Still want a knackly toy.
Cuddly Toy would be good. That's sarcasm, by the way. Just a terrible game.
I kind of admitted it now.
Yeah, well, like, I've had no urge to play it since, which kind of says a lot about it. But to be honest, I kind of want to pick up Killzone going back to the PS4, because everyone's kind of given Killzone a bad rep. It's dropped in price.
But it's
got to
be better than Battlefield.
But I've heard it's all right. Yeah, it's got to be better than Battlefield.
Well, more interesting, perhaps, for someone who's not,
you know,
such a war game fan.
Yeah, I'm kind of bored of Battlefield already, if I'm being totally
honest.
Are they
still going on to get these gifts?
I am. It's because it means I don't have to play the game as much. They're having an appreciation month this month, EAR, for all of February to try and appease fans who've bought premium packs and stuff over the dips in service that have been happening with Battlefield 4 servers and the like since launch. And as such, they're giving away these things they call battle packs, which are briefcases with like XP bonuses and bits for your gun and camo skins and stuff.
It's like a bit like a blind bag.
Yeah, kind of.
You don't know what you're going to get.
I think they do those in COD, right? I think there's some similar concept in COD or Halo or one of them. But yeah, so it just kind of means you unlock bits for the gun that you'd have to use a gun for a very long time. And it just saves me playing the game. Like, if I want to change my gun, I just get loads of extra bits so I don't have to put the time or effort into. Incidentally, you can purchase these battle packs as well, I think, which is kind of like, hey, aren't these great? Well, you can pay for them now. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't really looked into it that much. Don't really care, if I'm being totally honest.
You mentioned Halo just now.
Yeah.
Have you any interest in the Spartan Assault game? I think that has it been released?
The tablet
a demo
game.
Available? You play it on Xbox as well?
Yeah, I don't care. I really don't. I got to be honest. Like,
They are milking that franchise.
Well, you know, it's...
But they will, because it's popular.
It's a franchise, isn't it? You know, it's what it's there for. Much as, like, your FIFAs and your NFLs, etc. To be honest, speaking of milking franchises, something we were talking about on Twitter earlier, because a few of our listeners and Twitter followers were enraged by the fact that Tomb Raider, the new Definitive Edition or whatever it is called, the, you know, the Xbox One and PS4 HD remasterings. Well, Lara looks very pretty.
HD remasterings are more than that.
Yeah. Well, they're PC ports, essentially, aren't they? Like, it's just
apparently, I hear the PS4 version is better than the PC. Apparently, the PC version is the weakest of the bunch.
Apparently so, yeah.
That the PS4 one is better than the Xbox one.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Interesting. Yeah, it's just this whole trend of re-releasing games is already happening on this console generation. Like, it's pretty far into like the PS3's lifespan that we started getting like PS2 games. But like straight out of the bat, got Tomb Raider, a game that was, what, 6-7 months old? Probably a bit more than that, actually. I can't remember.
They made all the grass animated or something. All the objects that Lara could brush past and they would move in relation to her movements. All of them move now, not just some of them.
Does Elton John's Circle of Life play while you're brushing through all the grass? And
that could be an addition.
Yeah, I think it should be.
But yeah, I watched the video. I think you seen the video?
I haven't. I've had absolutely no interest.
The developers talk about what they've actually done to the game, and they've the textures are all high resolution.
Yeah.
So if you look close up, you can see the Lara model has completely changed.
Okay.
Updated. She looks good, I'd say.
Yeah, this is what I've heard.
Fuzzy than before.
Yeah. She shaved then.
A little bit more. I don't know. She looked more unique, I think, originally.
Yeah.
She looked a little bit more streamlined now. Did a little bit more character.
Okay.
Everything looks a little less mucky and a little bit sharper. And it moves at a wonderful frame rate and looks very real. And yeah, I think it looks great.
Yeah.
And it is an improvement. But is it enough of an improvement to warrant a re-release?
Well, this is the
argument,
thing,
isn't it?
You know, like, yeah, my argument is, yeah, if you've got a PS4, you've got an Xbox One, in all fairness, it's probably the best game on both consoles at the moment.
And the best version of the game,
and
I
the
imagine.
Best version of the game, which is, you know, it's not a perfect game by any means. It isn't 10 out of 10. Excellent, oh my god, you must play this game. But, like, it's a pretty good game.
Certainly, and everyone I know have played it have really liked it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of got the best bits of Assassin's Creed and Uncharted and just kind of throwing them into one mixing bowl.
Speaking of Assassin's Creed, can we talk about Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor for a moment?
Yes.
Do you know much about this one?
I've seen the trailer, or at least half of it. I can't even remember if I've seen all of it.
Okay, this Assassin's Creed Batman Arkham mashup game.
Set in Middle-Earth,
yeah,
naturally, because that's where those two games mashed together would land.
I do like this concept of the villains learning your attacks and having you have your own personal history with characters in the game that is unique to your experience.
Yeah, but
that's kind
of developers
cool.
Like to say stuff like that.
Oh, you're a bit dubious.
I am a bit dubious.
I like this idea of, say, you defeat one guy and then you can use him then to assassinate another higher up. You can see the hierarchy of
the orcs.
Of orcs.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool. But you know that guy isn't strong enough to actually kill him, but it's enough for you to know where he is so you can track him and then have the opportunity to kill him.
Yeah.
I think it looks really impressive.
Well, it looks like it's got some cool things.
Yeah, the Wraith thing, you know, the it looks a little bit like the detective mode on Batman when you switch to Wraith Vision.
Yeah,
you can
it
see
does.
Your targets and things more clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way the guy walks just made me think Assassin's Creed straight away.
It is very Assassin's Creed, and isn't it?
Have you heard about one of the guys who's working on Assassin's Creed was recognising animations?
Really?
He saw some of the battle animations and he says that's directly out of Assassin's Creed. I don't know
wow.
how they've got... He recognised it as his code. He was like, that's what I made.
Wow.
And that's the bit of controversy surrounding the game. I don't know if any more has been said regarding that or any statements have been made, but this guy is allegedly saying that that's what he developed.
Oh, wow. That's not good, is it? Like...
I mean, he could be wrong. It could just be very close. It could be a direct copy, but he seems pretty certain.
Well, you know, it definitely stinks of Assassin's Creed, doesn't it? Like, you look at it and go, that's Assassin's Creed set in Middle-Earth.
Mm.
It's got some nice gameplay mechanics and this whole idea of, you know, controlling orcs and then getting them to do your dirty work and stuff is very cool.
It mashes up some great franchises. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Yeah.
Would it be a game I actually play? You know me, Matt, probably not.
Probably not. You probably rely on me to buy it and then judge it.
Well, I can't buy it, can I? It's on PS4 and Xbox One.
You could buy it for my PS4.
It's not likely.
You could buy it for that Xbox One that Microsoft's going to give us.
Yeah, yeah. How about Bayonetta 2?
I'm looking forward to that. I'll pick that up for the Wii U.
There's a big Wii U release. I looked on the eShop the other day while I was browsing my DS and I was looking at Nintendo's next big releases this year.
Yeah.
And you got Yoshi's New Island. You've got Bayonetta 2, Mario Kart 8, Donkey Kong, which I pre-ordered now.
Oh, really? Any incentive to pre-order? It's
reasonably cheap, £33, where I pre-ordered it from.
I'm going to be honest, I can't remember the name of the game, but I pre-ordered the 3DS Jiggly Breasts game that we were looking at the other day. Because I think it'd be hilarious.
This is a side-scrolling beat-em-up, essentially, isn't it? But it's got a rather dubious cover.
It has got definitely a dubious cover.
I was shocked that's the cover that's going to be on shelves.
It is. This is my
breast.
This is my suspicion a bit.
That's it.
It is pretty much in a girl
it's
looking.
It's more risky than Catherine.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
She's holding something between her bosoms.
She is. I don't even know what it is. Some kind of scroll,
I think.
But
it was enough to sell you on the game.
Well, no, I bought it because judging by the cover, I think it's just going to cause a shitstorm as soon as it hits shelves and is probably just going to get withdrawn from sale.
Mm.
I would imagine if any high street retailers actually stock it.
Yeah. I think it's the kind of game that, from my previous experience working at game, they'd get one copy in.
Yeah, exactly. This is my
or no copies. If no one's pre-ordered, they probably won't get it in.
Yeah, this is my suspicion, though. This is what I think. Like, I think if one of these games is going to go dirt cheap straight away, it'll probably have a very, very small press, and then it'll disappear into obscurity.
I always think that with games, and then I see them on Zavvi, like, months down the line, dirt cheap.
Yeah, but,
you know, about what I paid for them initially when they came out.
Like, bought Cave Story 3D. That's still... Yeah. Like £70 on Amazon for a used copy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like sometimes some of these games can just, you know, they are obscure enough to go away. I don't think there's going to be a big press on it because it is what it is. I can't even remember the name of the game. we'll post a link in the description of this and you guys can see it for yourselves. But it's kind of shocking, really. It's released on the 28th of February. If you want to do a bit of detective work and can't wait, it's on Amazon.
Same day as Ninja Gaiden...
Z, is it?
Z or Zaibu...
The zombie one, right?
Yeah, the zombie one.
There's a few games out that day, actually. The Tales of Symphonia HD collection for the PS3s out that day, which I may also pick up.
Lego Movie Game mid-February.
Yes,
Valentine's Day, the 14th. Same day as the UK release,
yes.
I think, of the film. That should be interesting.
Should.
I'm curious about that
one. I'm actually looking forward to playing it. I'm hoping we can kind of snag a copy to have a look at from work.
Maybe we can borrow one.
I think so, hopefully.
We borrow it undercover.
Yeah. Well, other than that, I've actually been playing some PC games.
Oh, you have, haven't you? Yes.
For once.
This could be an area we branch out into more.
I think it is. Well, I'm going to buy Stanley Parable and Gone Home because I've heard nothing but excellent things about both. But to be honest, the kind of thing that surged me looking into it was a description of the Castle Doctrine, which is one of the games I've been playing, but also because I... claimed my Kickstarter on the excellent Broken Age.
This is
the Double Fine Adventure that earlier last year got 4 million in funding and was a return to form for Tim Schafer of Double Fine and Ron Gilbert, who worked on Monkey Island. They wanted to remake an old school point and click, and obviously because they got so much funding for it, it evolved much beyond that to one of the most beautiful games I've ever played. And it is nothing but a point-and-click adventure, but it's kind of the Mona Lisa of point-and-click adventures, I would go so far as saying. Like, it's not got the warped logic of Monkey Island. Like, there's not a lot of combining items for the sake of combining items to hope you get the right thing and then dragging it everywhere. It's all very simplistic. It's all very straightforward. It's all very playable. But the characters are great. They're really nice, enjoyable characters, which is a trademark of the old LucasArts games. The backgrounds and scenery and the characters themselves are gorgeous, sounds very nice, and it's just a really nice world it's set in.
Mm-hmm.
Split in two parts, in the game itself and the full retail release. This is Act 1 that's been released now on Steam for, I believe, €15.99 in euros. So about €12.99, I think it is, or something around there. And... yeah, it's just a great game from start to finish. It's very short, the first act a bit, but adventure games were never really long. And I've really enjoyed it. I don't really want to say much more about it. I'm going to do a Let's Play hopefully this week, at least of the first half of the game, because as I've said, it's split into two characters.
This is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Titling a video as a let's play. Yeah. Everyone does it. Yeah. It's become just what you do. You don't say, I'm going to play.
Well, it's the thing, isn't it?
The title is let's play. And you see so many of them. I don't always see them as a seal of quality.
Oh, no, definitely not. Well, like, it's not.
Anyone can say let's play and voice over a,
yeah, of course
them
they can.
Playing a game.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, but like,
it's
the internet, it's a world of opportunity. Yeah. We are two men speaking into a recording device.
I'm not saying ours
podcast.
Won't be of good quality.
No.
Of course it will.
Of course it will. Well, we'll try our best. But I'm just saying, you know, it's the wonders of free speech, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
It's the same
everyone's
reason that people
doing
are listening
it.
To us now. It's
but I'm thinking, what can make someone stick out?
I don't know. Hopefully, we'll find that out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Time will tell.
Exactly. But other than Broken Age, like I said, I played the Castle Doctrine, which is a game essentially based around the idea that you're a man who has $2,000, you have a house in which your family live, and you have a safe. And with that $2,000, you need to protect your family, protect your safe, but then also leave yourself enough money to go around and do the other portion of the game. So it's kind of like a home defense game mm-hmm. based around the idea that you need to protect your safe, but your family are also supposed to be able to escape alive when someone comes into the house. But while you set up your house, and then once you've tested it yourself, because you have to prove that you can get to the safe, you then go out and burgle other people's houses, and other people try and burgle your house. They also try and kill your family, which gives you bonus points. So it's kind of a game of dubious morals, but it's very fun. My only qualm with it, though, and my only reason for not saying, yeah, you should really buy this game, because it's on Steam now and it's quite cheap, it's very affordable, is the fact that once you die, and like I said, you have to test your home out before you can leave it. If you die, you go back to the beginning, you start with a new house and a new family. So it's a bit annoying, because if you try and orchestrate a whole thing and you plan it out, and then you hit something wrong and delete something wrong, or you die, you're dead. Alternatively, if you were like I was when the first time you played it, you just set up a load of traps just to see what they would do, and then use the indicator lights that they give you kind of to check as electricity flowing through the electricated floors and all this kind of stuff so you can avoid them. Once you go, okay, this is fine, and then you delete those things and put in the real traps, then you haven't got enough money because you've spent the money doing the trial. There's a few little things like that with it that, like, your money shouldn't be spent until you actually said, yes, this is the house I'm going to use. Also, you shouldn't, if you die during that trial of your house, I don't think it should erase all the work you've done. It kind of takes the fun out of it, for me at least. Because I was having to take screen grabs of my house and then work from screen grabs, which no one really wants to do. Like, why don't you just give me an option to save, like, my default house, and then I can go back to it and use it every time. But, yeah, hopefully that'll be in an update. It's still an alpha build at the moment. It's still not even beta. It's not a full release by any means, and that's why it's so cheap. But it's a very enjoyable game from what I've played of it. And the whole idea of going into someone's house is when you know that the puzzle is solvable and you just kind of got to be smart enough to figure it out is kind of rewarding. I robbed someone's house and then I died again, so I haven't really played it that long. I'm going to do a TMA quickie on it, though, so you guys can see it. But, yeah, it's good. Other than that, I got my copy of Mega Man Legends 2, which I'm looking forward to playing. Got Final Fantasy Tactics, which I also may do a bit of video on because I've never played it. And I think that's about it, really. Oh, actually, no, I'm going to leave that for next week because I wouldn't have bought it if we recorded this podcast yesterday. Made a lovely purchase from Adam, the wonderful gamesorbodman.co.uk. One that I'm really looking forward to talking about next week. It's a bit of a tease, a bit of a cliffhanger. Ooh. Yeah, I wouldn't have bought it if you recorded
it yesterday.
You're
not going to mention even a hint of what it is?
It's part of a franchise near and dear to my heart. With a...
Final Fantasy?
No. with a dragon called Bub and Bob.
Oh, well, there you go. You've done it now.
No, I haven't.
Well, you, partly.
I've given away what series it is, but not what game. Ooh. Yeah, I guess that's it, unless you have more to say, Thomas. It's been a bit of a rambling tangent this episode.
I don't know. I've quite enjoyed it.
So have I. It's been very informal. I think that's the wonders of...
Because we're sitting down on a sofa.
Sitting down on a sofa with our legs up and a cup of tea.
Yeah.
It's become an informal thing. Maybe we should do this once a month. Just have like an informal chat. Vent our frustrations of the world of video games in a non-standardised format.
Our format's never been standardised, Matthew.
No, this is true. Any time I've tried to rein it in, I've just forgotten about it for the next week.
That's true. Well, I hope you've enjoyed listening. We've certainly enjoyed podcasting.
We have indeed. yeah, you can find us at the usual places, facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. You can now look us up on YouTube at Tom and Matt Attack as well. While you're there, give us a subscribe, rate a video, give us a comment. We'll comment back. We're good like that. Just don't troll us and say we smell or something like that. I'll just block you because it's the internet.
And how do you know that we smell?
Exactly. You know, we've not invented smell-o-vision. This isn't Earthbound. Our videos don't come with a scratch and sniff card. Sort it out.
We don't smell.
We don't. And then, of course...
We use links.
We do. We use things. We use Atari links. And it just makes all the smells
because
go away.
Because we're worth it.
Yeah. Because Atari links stinks so much itself. There's kind of a negative effect. And it kind of takes the stink away from us.
Come on. There are worse. Gamecom, perhaps.
CDI. 3DO.
No, don't go there. They're not portables.
Yeah, but...
Oh, imagine a Philips portable CD.
No, that would be terrible. You can find us on Twitter as well, at TMAcast. You can find this podcast, if you found it on Vero Twitter, on iTunes. You can also find it in Stitcher. And while you're there on iTunes, maybe give us a subscription. Maybe give us a cheeky rate.
I knew you were
going to
say
appreciated.
Cheeky
rate. Better than a cheeky rake. I hate cheeky rakes. Always so pushy.
Oh, Matt, quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, it's getting late. I apologise for that terrible, terrible, terrible joke. Wasn't even a joke. Wasn't even funny.
No.
I'm good.
Finish.
Yeah. So, till next week, game on.
Game on.
Bye.